Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of week. You download the Crazy Sheet, you get you something cold to drink, you snuggle in, and you get ready to talk about college football. I'm Mark, and I'm here in the podcasting studio, and Scotty looks to be out on the road. Brother, how the hell are you?
Man, I'm good. Out on the road. Good week of gambling last week. What a fun weekend that was. I got to tell you that my Bulldogs set back offensive football by 10 years. That was reminiscent of Croom and Auburn 3-2. And the only thing that may challenge that pitiful offensive performance was the Dan Enos-led Arkansas Razorbacks. Damn, they are bad on offense. And they've got more talent than that. I mean, like, State's just not very good. I mean, Mike Wright is an average quarterback. They've got more talent than that on offense. Their game plan was absolutely atrocious. All they did was play right into Mississippi State's hands and the things that State does well. State's got a blitz linebackers. They did not try to attack the center of the field at all against that defense. They should have fired Enos at halftime, but they fortunately did it on Sunday morning. That game, I'm telling you, Mark, set offensive football back. That would have made 1922 coaches blush. It was a really bad offensive performance.
The only thing that would have been better is if Iowa would have showed up, and it would have been like a three-way game where everybody was just not going to the end zone, just kind of going in a triangle, like a big circle jerk, but you couldn't score. It would have been fantastic. Oh, but that being said.
Speaking of Iowa, can we please fix this bullshit call for a fair catch? I mean, seriously.
Yeah. I didn't know what they were reviewing. I was like, he's not out of bounds.
How can you call a fair catch on a ball that's on the ground?
I don't know.
How can you call a fair catch on a ball that's rolling?
I don't know. There was some bad officiating.
You can fair catch it. Hell, if I'm doing an onside kick, I have all 11 guys waving fair catch, fair catch, fair catch. Don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you get all those guys to wave their damn hands, and then it's you can't onside kick anymore. That's the most BS rule ever. It sucked in the Tennessee game. It put them in a bad spot. But costing a team a win for a bullshit. And here's the true key. If anybody thought it was nobody slowed down on either one of those teams. It's not like people pulled up. Certainly not in the damn Minnesota game. They've got to fix that rule. I understand that you can go and read some half-ass idiot-proof rule that, the referees got it right. No, you didn't get that right. You didn't get that right in either ball game because no player thought that was a fair catch. And at some point, we have to take these idiot refs out of it.
Good luck.
I mean, that was asinine. That was completely asinine. But I still want someone to tell me how in the world a ball rolling on the ground can be fair call. I'm telling you, all 11 guys need to wave on the next fair catch. The next onside kick, I'd be waving. Every dude's waving his hand. Well, I'm sitting on a fair catch. Ball's back here.
That is an interesting take. I didn't think about
that. You think they call that shit a fair catch if he fumbles that ball when he picks it up?
No.
Hell no. Same thing for Tennessee. Do we get a dead ball sportsmanship if that dude from Iowa just gets smooth-ass trucked when he starts? No, you wouldn't have. They called that ball back because he scored. And the same thing, and make no mistake, I absolutely 100% think the SEC is trying to take care of Alabama. If LSU thinks they're going to get a fair shake when they play those dudes in a couple of weeks, they need to put down the crack pipe because the SEC needs Bama to not lose again. And they need Georgia to maybe lose once. Or bottom line is, they don't have a shot at a playoff team.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds. Of course, college football always seems to work itself out. We've been in this situation before where you think you've got a bunch of teams that are going to play into it, and then crazy shit still happens. I mean, we've got 6 weeks of football left. There's still all kinds of things that are going to happen. Penn State essentially eliminated themselves, not just with the loss. I think Penn State eliminated themselves with the eyeball test in that game that they've got there.
I agree with you.
You know, we had started to hear, you know, rumblings out of the offense not being able to take downfield shots. And I kind of assumed we would see it, and then we didn't. And he just didn't look comfortable past anything, past about 15 yards. Obviously didn't look comfortable in the middle of the field. But if you ever want to ruin a really good football game, what I would recommend is hiring Gus Johnson to call it. Because if I had to hear that motherfucker say Maserati Marv one more time, like it was something we were all embracing together, I was like, golly. And I was stuck in a bar with my daughter in Lubbock, and I couldn't, you know, obviously they're not going to turn the volume off of the main game, but I was like, this is terrible. And so, yeah, that was some bad announcing.
And he gets players wrong. Oh, yeah. He gets numbers wrong. You know, he'll be like, complete it fast. The ball's rolling on the ground. And you're like, oh, it's incomplete. You know, he is so annoying to watch. I mean, it is. There are times that I'm literally like, does he not have a spotter? Is he just doing this, you know, freelance? I mean, it's like, come on, man. He's annoying. I would agree with that as well.
He's got Corso down there giving him play-by-play into his earpiece, and he's calling it back from that. So – you got that. Tennessee, about what I've expected from Tennessee, to be honest with you. They came out strong, then they wilted. The problem is with that team is Joe Milton cannot go downfield. He looked great in the first half. Obviously, Alabama made some adjustments, shut that down. If you watched any of the U of H Texas game, Quinn Ewers is out for several weeks with a shoulder issue. And if you're Dana Holgorsen, I don't know how you did not lose your ever-living mind with that spot at the end of the game.
No doubt.
It was terrible, and I couldn't believe it. And so, yeah, again, with the officiating that was there, and I didn't have a dog in the fight, but, I mean, I was cheering for, you know, and I've got Texas to win the Big 12, but I was still pulling for U of H there at the end. You got some teams that just look like they've quit. Talking about your Mississippi State Rebel game, Arkansas – showed no interest of being on the field on Saturday. I mean, just none. And they still have several big games that they have to muddle through there. And there is some talent on that roster. So the bye could not have come at a better time for that team. The Pac-12 is extremely interesting. We've got some huge games this week. UCLA quietly is going to make a run at the Pac-12 championship. Now that they've benched the freshman Dante Moore, And I think Chip did what he had to do going into the season. He had that huge recruit. He wanted to keep him on the roster, keep him happy. He started him. He threw that early pick six in the Utah game. And then he just hadn't been able to deliver. And then he brings in Ethan Garbers. And then don't forget, but he's got Colin Schley, the guy that was at Toledo last year, Toledo or Kent, and he's there too as a backup. So he's got some depth, but Garbers has done well. And the defensive unit for UCLA is legit. And it's really good. USC, they're done. Just done. I can't handle the body language. I mean, we've all heard Caleb's, I want a part of the team, and the look on his face, whatever. They just don't look – I mean, you could still see there was some passion in there. But their defensive scheme from Greenwich – if you're Lincoln Riley and you legitimately think you're going to win with him coaching, I would have cut ties right then and been like, look, we got to move on. But I don't know why he's going to keep him with them. I think Lincoln Riley's looking to do is just like he did at Oklahoma. Things get a little tough and somebody in the NFL is going to bring him up Cliff Kingsbury style. And I think he may be looking at that. You're hearing some rumors of it. So it's a lot of teams eliminated.
Mark, I want to go back. I want to circle back to USC on a second. Look, man, I know these kids today are different and sportsmanship and everything is secondary. But Williams sitting on the bench post-game and a guy's rubbing on his shoulder and, hey, man, it's all right. And could a kid make it any more about him? I've never seen a more me attitude than that picture right there. You just lost to a good football team at home that a backup quarterback just beat you.
Yeah.
If nothing else, get up and go shake that kid's hand. You can tell there were kids roaming around on that field looking for him, like, where are you? Oh, he's sitting over on the bench. And he just bails and goes to the locker room. that guy has got a lot of work to do before he goes. I keep hearing Mahomes.
No.
My ass. He's got a long way to go. Anybody that thinks he's going to roll right in and be Patrick Mahomes is crazy. And you know, I think he certainly got the ability, but it ain't all about ability in the NFL.
And at the same time, you've got Bear Alexander standing 15 feet away who's literally crying because he got ejected from the game and he knows he let his team down on a mistake, which, again, yep. I know it's the rule. You got to call it that way. But I think if there's not malice intent, then call a personal foul, give him 15 yards, and let him roll. But, yeah, that's just me, man. I don't know. Scotty, we had a pretty good week last week. Won some money, staying ahead of the Mendoza line. What are we, 44-36-1? Is that correct?
I believe that is correct. Yep, that's what I've got to say. It was a good week. And there were some things that went on early in the week that really got me off to a good start. I had been really, really pleased with some of my games. My Mac game went sideways on me last week when Garver broke that leg. That was bad. That was a bad gig. That went sideways on me. You got no chance to win on that deal. Michigan just absolutely did exactly what I thought. And I guess we have to talk about that a little more because I do think that it's much about nothing. But there's no chance he doesn't get fired. And I'm going to pose the question to you at this point. If you're Harbaugh, do you just say to hell with it and go all in and just send another cat? This guy's been busted. Next man up. Let's send another guy to all these ball games.
I
love it. Have you seen the Tennessee message board post?
Yeah.
Where some just rando fan on the message board's like, hey, Michigan's scouting us next week. They got this guy coming down. And it turned out to be right. I mean, how great is that? I mean, this guy's busting it on the Tennessee message board a year ago. So I think it's hilarious what's going on. So does Harbaugh just say screw it and send next man up and just own it and be like, we're going to go win it all?
I would do two things. If I were Harbaugh, I would go to the athletic director and I would go to the – if you've never been around people from Michigan, there is a culture. The Michigan man thing is real. They are – a very proud.
Yeah, Ward Arnold is a former defensive lineman for Michigan.
Yeah, they're very,
a guy they signed from New Orleans who was a big time recruit. Now they're athletic director.
Yeah, I mean it's a big proud community. They look down upon everything else going on in the Big Ten and most of the country. If I'm Harbaugh, I walk in and I'm like, look, guys, yeah, we did that. I may or may not have known that was a rule that we broke, but we've got a team that can win the national championship, and we're going to win it. And if y'all want to talk about this February 1st, we can. And, oh, by the way, if my expense report this week, I bought my man a wig and a mustache that I'm going to need him to wear at the next couple of games because we got this thing on the rails, and we ain't getting off, baby. That's what I'd be telling him right there.
You're saying don't go Bobby Petrino and lie to your AD. Just suck it up and tell him the truth and be like, brother, get on board. We're going to win this deal.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a long damn time since we won a natty. It's time for us to get back up front. Yeah. I think you should probably own it because did you see Matt Rhule and Deion Sanders' response to it? I thought they were both fabulous. Rhule basically just that's going on all the time. If you don't look, everybody's trying to steal people's signs. And if we really want to end it, let's just put their headgear where they got headgear and we can call the play in. Quarterback rolls out there with three plays and we tell them what to run based on coverage or whatever. Exactly. We have the technology to do it. Why not do it? Hell, high schools call in plays better than college teams do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't tell me that this is that big. At the end of the day, you still got to go make the play, like Deion said. I do think it can help if you know a toss sweep's coming or, you know, whatever. But at the end of the day, you got a better dude. The better dude can make the play, you know. And I think at the end of the day, Marvin Harrison will be able to beat most of their DBs. That's the deal. The play that everybody's drawing out about the showing and pointing at the sky and all that, by the way, Ohio State scored on that play. Just FYI. Nobody's talking about that out. Nobody's pointing that out. Ohio State scored the touchdown on that play.
If I'm the NCAA prosecutor that's trying to explain this to the board, that's going to be what's going to do, I would get like the 1980 4 Tecmo Bowl game that only had 4 plays. And if you called the other team's play, it was just immediately over. Unless you had Bo Jackson and you could run him backwards because he was the only guy good enough to do it. And be like, so this is what Michigan is doing. They're calling the exact same play like this. And that's how I would explain it, just to dumb it down for the NCAA to completely understand everything.
I think it's fabulous. I think there's a lot of people. I think they're going to end up letting Harbaugh go over this, I think is what's going to happen. And I think it's asinine. But, you know, hey, the old saying, you're not cheating. Well, that's where we're at right here. This, you know, you're just trying to get a leg up. Do I not like it because it's against the spirit of the game? Yes. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of shit going on that's against the spirit of the game every day. So let's not act like, you know, I'm listening to Rick Neuheisel talk about all the liberty. You never paid a player when it wasn't legal? Well, I'm going to go on and call BS on that.
Now, time out. You got to realize Rick Neuheisel hates Jim Harbaugh. And if you've never heard the story, I'll tell it real quick and then we can jump in. It's the end of the game. Stanford comes back to beat Washington. I think we've talked about this every year. And they meet at the 50-yard line. And Neuheisel's looking for Harbaugh. And Harbaugh comes sprinting out. And he's got his arm cocked to shake his hand and slaps his hand in there and greets him with this, "How about that one, Ricky?" And then pats him on the side and then runs off. And Neuheisel just is just dumbfounded by the whole situation. So he's never liked him since then. Never. I've heard him tell the story 3 times, once in person. It was incredible. So, anyway, that being said, Scotty, we're 8 games above 500. I'm happy about that. The one thing I am super excited about, and I want to lift up Siusa, if what they've been doing, and the Fun Belt is playing football on some weekdays, because next week is when it starts, Halloween. I know you'll be putting your gear on, dressed up as, you know, a Teletubby or whatever you're going to be this year. But Maction starts next Tuesday, baby. And so if you haven't watched some good weekday Maction, you are in for some treats this year because there are some really bad teams in the MAC. And you're going to have to watch them because this is the weekday games that we've got here. So, Scott, let's lead off this week with a Maction. Play of the week is our last Saturday Maction play that we will most likely cover. 152 on your rotation sheet. Ohio will be at home at Athens playing Miami this weekend. Over-under here is 39. Oh, my goodness, that's low. Ohio is laying 7 in this one. Miami scored 29 points a game, giving up 19. They're 6-2, straight up 6-2 against the number. Ohio scoring 23 points a game. They're giving up 14. They're 6-2, straight up 4-4 against the number. 1-6 to the under, which that is crazy considering how low this one is. More reason this number is so low, and Scott kind of hit on this last week, is Blaine Gabbert had a really bad leg or ankle break in the Miami-Ohio game. I don't recommend you go watch it if you get kind of queasy. He's done. And a backup quarterback in Miami just is not going to be very good. Ohio, on the other hand, has not looked great. And this is a team that we thought would really dominate the MAC coming into the season. They've managed to pretty much handle their business. They had that early loss to San Diego State and the slip-up a couple of weeks ago. They're laying 7 in this one. I think Ohio gets right as they can see the future. And this gives them a chance. If they win here, they've got a shot to win the East. They should win the East. And then they're on their way to possibly play for the MAC championship game.
Yeah, I think that's the key. This defense for Ohio is what is really, really good. I think we were all expecting the offense to be a good football team with everything they had coming back. This defense is driving the show, and they have now gotten into more of an offense where they're, especially when they get a lead, leaning on this defense, not looking for a mistake. I mean, the lack of a quarterback at Miami is the difference in this ball game. I think they cover it, but I also think you can get you an under in this ball game because that Miami defense is pretty good too. So at the end of the day, I like Ohio -6.5. I think they get it done at home versus Miami of Oxford.
Next game we want to go to on the rotation sheet's just one away, Kansas and Ohio, and Oklahoma. This should be a great game. A lot of points we're looking for in this one in a shootout. Give you a little indication of where our handicap's going to go. Over-under here is 65. Kansas is getting 10 points. Both of these teams are scoring between 35 and 43 points a game. Kansas is giving up 28. OU's giving up 16. OU's 7-0 straight up, where Kansas is 5-2. OU's also 6-1 against the number, one of the most profitable teams if you've been betting them all season. I kind of like Kansas in the points here, but you can't get a good read on whether or not the quarterback's going to play or not. And, you know, I don't know that the backup's that big of a drop-off in this situation because he's played so much. But this Oklahoma team, to me, has been electric. Last week they laid pretty close to the biggest egg that they've laid all season. They had a typical Oklahoma moment where they couldn't quite get there. Reese Plumlee looked really good in that game, but then they settled in. They ended up winning that game 31-29. This one where I think it's going to go, I think last week was a good eye-opener, and that's the reason I'm taking the over here. It's 65. I think Dylan Gabriel and them get it done. They play with tempo. Kansas likes to go fast, and their defense is not good at all. I think Oklahoma, another way you could look at this one would be to possibly get you an Oklahoma team total. If you can get anything under Oklahoma, I'd say 38, maybe even all the way up to 42. I don't know. But somewhere in there, if you get an Oklahoma team total around in there, I think that's a good bet as well because I can see Oklahoma scoring 6 touchdowns in this game and Kansas not having much to stop them.
Couldn't agree more. Here's the deal. The two best teams they play are Oklahoma State and Texas. They gave up 39 and 40 to each one of them. You bring up a great point about the team total. I agree with you. I think that is a fabulous number. If you can get that at 38, I think that's a great number because I think this team's going to score. Dylan Gabriel's, this offense is explosive. Yeah. Last week was a great game to watch with Gus Bus gave it his all last week in Norman for UCF. And Plumlee was back. He looked good. They moved the football pretty well. But Oklahoma just, this team's good. This team's good. And it felt like every time they needed to make a play, they went and made a play. And at the end of the day, I think Oklahoma last week got a scare, not playing especially well. I think they come out and you get an A-plus effort here. So I think you get a lot of points. I do think Kansas is going to be able to score as well. So like you, I like the over. But that Oklahoma team total is a pretty good number.
Next one, Scotty, let's go to the Mountain West. Man, I used to love the MAC. Now I think I have a little crush on the Mountain West. Ooh, and I think it's going to be – next year we're going to have Mountain West After Dark. I'm not giving the Big Ten the After Dark moniker when they start playing games on the West Coast. I can't wait for Rutgers to play USC and UCLA in back-to-back weeks, and they pull a full NFL and just stay the week out there. Like practice at UCSB or somewhere like that.
Dude, you know they're not going to let them do that. Rutgers, they'll make them come home.
Penn State. I mean, trying to get from Penn State to Los Angeles is going to be a long day.
Penn State might stay. Football's important enough. Football's not important enough at Rutgers. They'll make them come. They'll make them come back.
Don't tell me football's not important at Rutgers, baby. That team's on its way to a bowl game this year. Are you kidding me?
You, baby, over under win total. Rutgers, baby.
Oh, let's talk about a team that has come out and surprised some folks and a team that's letting folks down. Wyoming, they'll be traveling from Laramie to Boise, Idaho, and they are not playing Uncle Rico in this one, baby. Boise State's coming off of a bye, and they're laying 5 points in this one. They're scoring 29 points a game, giving up 30. They're 3-4 straight up, 2-3 against the number. Wyoming scored 26 points a game, giving up 25, 5-2 straight up, 4-2 against the number. These teams look evenly matched, and Boise State has kind of been stinky, and they're laying 5 at home. Please explain to me why this is not a trap.
You know what? At the end of the day, I just think Wyoming's better. They've only lost one game where their starting quarterback gave Air Force all they wanted on the road. This team's gone on the road and played well. They played pretty well at Texas, played well at Air Force. I think they go on the road here. This Wyoming team's played a really good schedule, and at the end of the day, they're 4-2-1 against the spread. I just think they're the better football team. And I think they're going to be – not only are we getting points, but I'm going to tell you, I like them on the money line. This is my upset play of the week. I think they're going to win this ball game. I think the wrong team's favored. I think there's still a lot of weight on Boise for who Boise's been. And Brian Harsin just was smooth campaigning for the job this week. Oh, I have a lot of great members, great people at Boise. I think Avalos is fighting for his job. I think there's a lot of problems there. At the end of the day, I think Craig Bohl goes up there, does a great job, takes it to Wyoming and gets the W. I think this is the key. I think they've got a good enough run defense that they're going to be able to make Boise one-dimensional. Boise has to run the football to do well. And I think this Wyoming defense is good enough to slow them down enough that they have to throw to win the game, and I don't think their quarterback play is good enough to do that.
Yeah, Boise State's been really confusing to me. You know, they had a Tylan Wallace, the quarterback. I think that's the kid's name. I always screw this up and confusing for the wide receiver that played for Oklahoma State. But, you know, last year he was really dynamic, led the team in rushing. They get a new offensive coordinator in there, and then they decide that this year they're going to try to keep him in the pocket. He just hasn't been as good. They're trying to bottle up that athleticism and, you know, use his legs to move the pocket and get open. That's a lot to ask on a college kid. If you don't believe me, ask Caleb Williams, because that's what he's trying to do, and it doesn't look that great at USC, and he's got way more talent than they do here. And so that's the one thing that I'm down on with Boise State. I've watched him play. This team has not been impressive all season long. Losing to Colorado State the way they did, losing to Memphis. I know they were close games, but Memphis and Colorado State aren't good. And so losing those games, and then they had close wins against a San Diego State team that's terrible. They had a close win over a San Jose State team who might not lose again the rest of the season. We'll talk about that later. But I just haven't been overwhelmed with Boise State. I like your Wyoming getting five, and you get you some money line. We'll calculate those numbers up here in a little bit. Scotty, let's move on to a game everyone is excited to watch. I'm talking about game 128 on your rotation sheet. And I doubt you're driving listening to this, and you've got a rotation sheet in front of you. But let me tell you what this one is, brother. This is the Boston College UConn game. I am excited about this one. Boston College is laying 13.5, 14 pretty much across the board now. Over-under here is 51.5. This is going to be an early noon kickoff on the East Coast. Boston College laying 29, or scoring 29, giving up 30. They're 4-3 straight up, 3-4 against the number. UConn scoring 20 points a game, giving up 30. They're 1-6 straight up, 3-4 against the number. You're probably going to wonder how I can do this, but if you've watched Boston College play since the Florida State game, where we saw them come out, put up a hell of a good fight, and end up losing that game, and then they get trucked the next week by Louisville, everybody just kind of quit paying attention to that team. They since have beaten Virginia, they've beaten Army, they've beaten a Georgia Tech team, and this UConn team has totally folded it up and taken it to the house at this point. I like BC here a lot. I think this is an easy cover. I think Jeff Haley's actually coached himself back into getting a job or keeping his job. And so I'm big on this team. I think this is a good cover. I like him to win this game pretty good. I don't see much fight we're going to get out of UConn in this one.
Well, it feels like UConn lost a couple of close games, and it feels like they're kind of getting body blowed. But at the end of the day, this is still a team that lost to Florida International. Got crushed by Duke. Utah State is not very good. Rice, meh. South Florida, meh. Even though those were fairly close losses, they beat Rice. That's where their wins come from. At the end of the day, this is just an average football team. It does feel like Boston College has gotten more on the skids. This number is big for a reason. Vegas is obviously seeing this being a bad spot for UConn, and I agree with them.
Let's roll, baby. I like it. Let's take it. You're gonna look up and tune this game in on Saturday, and you're going to hear the pregame talking about old Tommy Castellanos, the quarterback for BC, and you're going to look around, and you're going to try to find the whitest Yankee you can find, and instead you've got a black kid from Waycross, Georgia. So get excited for it, man. This kid's fun to watch. He's dynamic. If you didn't watch the Red Bandana game, you missed out. He can play some football. Next one, Scotty. Let's move along, baby. Let's move along to game 187. Let's head to my alma mater in Waco, Texas. Iowa State and Baylor are playing in this game. This is an interesting spot. This game's been on the move. It's getting some pro money. Iowa State opened up, I think, -1. Now that line's all the way up to -2.5. Baylor's getting points at home. If you look at these two teams, you're probably thinking, why in the world would you take this game? Iowa State is trending in a really good direction to me. This team is improving as the season has moved on. It may be a wagon that we can roll the rest of the way out of here. Campbell's done a heck of a good job. I was ready to kind of, after the gambling scandal to start the season, I was ready to chunk this team away.
Well, they've gotten most of those kids back, Mark. Yeah. They've gotten a lot of those kids back.
But Baylor, on the other hand, has not looked good all season long. And their two wins are that crazy comeback win in the UCF game where they had to score 28 or 29 unanswered points, and then they snuck out a win against a really bad Cincinnati football team. I am underwhelmed with this Baylor team all the way through, and I think this Iowa State team is trending in the right direction. And the last time Iowa State was down here at this Baylor game, they lost, and I think they still have a little grit in their teeth in this spot from it. I think they come back and get some revenge in Waco. It's not a bad place to play. It's easy to win there. Trust me, I went to school there. Let's go Clones, -2.5 on the road against the Baylor Bears.
I love it. I think the Cyclones do get it done on the road here. It just feels like, again, what you said, these teams are trending, but it just looks like Iowa State's playing better. And I know Baylor's had some quarterback issues, but so has Iowa State. So there, it just feels like this team's getting on track, and it does not feel that way with Baylor. Baylor still seems to be floundering around a little bit. I mean, just absolutely got woodshedded by Texas Tech, who is meh as well at this point. I mean, that team's going to be lucky to get to a bowl game. And so it's not the way this team's playing. Texas killed Baylor. And it's more of how Iowa State's losing. They've been in pretty much every ball game, minus that Oklahoma game. They've been in every ball game, right there, a chance to win it. Won 3 out of 4. So, and that Oklahoma game being the only loss, I like Iowa State the way they're trending here to play up and get the win.
Scotty, let's talk about that wagon from the Sun Belt, baby. We're not talking about James Madison, though. We're going to talk about South Alabama. They'll be at home this weekend in Montgomery, and they're hosting Ooh La La will be rolling over. This is a huge number. South Alabama is laying 10. They're scoring 35 points a game, only giving up 19. Ooh La La is scoring 32 points a game, giving up 27. Are we going to lay 10 at home with the Jaguars?
Yes, we are. We have finally gotten on to level play, and the Jaguars are looking like the team we all thought they would be, a team that won 10 games last year, a team that we thought they'd be this year, finally starting to find their stride and really put it on people. I like the Jags this weekend. I'm excited about them getting into conference play, really getting a read on them. Totally missed that midweek game against Southern Miss a couple of weeks ago. I've said I'm going to watch them every game from here. And you not miss. They've got a Thursday match next week waiting on deck with Troy. Can't wait to see what that ball game is. They got to go to Troy. So I think they've got to win this ball game. Got to win and handle it. Get prepared. I like the Jags and Dane Womack to come out and put it on Ooh La La, who lost last week. We won a little money on against Georgia State. Should have lost to Texas State as well. But found a way to win that ball game late on a couple of Texas State mistakes. So at the end of the day, I love, again, just like we said, the difference of Iowa State, how they're playing, like how South Alabama's playing coming into this game. Not so much for Ooh La La. Like them laying the points at home. I think they get an easy win, set up for the big rivalry game next week against Troy.
Last one I got on my board, Scotty. UTSA will be at home in the Alamo Dome. And if you've never watched a game, they're flipping over for a couple of minutes. They get some fans out for these games. San Antonio comes out to represent. Frank Harris is back. If you don't know who he is, he's their 7-year quarterback that they've got on this squad. He's probably 36 years old and started actually as a freshman.
Frank Harris, I'm 19 years old.
Yeah. He's old as Rocky Marciano when he beat Joe Lewis, or however that joke goes. Anyway, he's been there forever. This team's laying a big number. They're laying all the way up to, I got them laying all the way up to 18.5 in this spot. I'm still going to lay it. East Carolina's terrible. Their offense is so bad. And I think UTSA just comes out and gets it done. I think East Carolina has already packed it up. I mean, they lost last week 7-10 to Charlotte, SMU 31-10. I mean, right? I'm not impressed. I think UTSA comes out here, gets it done. They still have a chance to win the conference championship. Now that they've got their quarterback back, I think they're right. I'm rolling with UTSA minus the big number in this one.
Yeah, I like UTSA here simply because, A, Frank Harris is back. That's a big part of it. But the biggest part, East Carolina's just not very good. They're 1-6 straight up, 2-5 against the spread. I mean, they are only – I mean, their offense is not averaging 275 yards total offense a game. I mean, that is ungood. So I think Harris has a huge day coming back. This is a really balanced team. I think they put it on them. I think they simply just can't keep – East Carolina can't keep up scoring. And I think that's what it is. Look, this over-under total is only 46. I mean, it tells you they don't think East Carolina is going to be able to score at all.
No.
I mean, at all. Or there's no chance this number is that low because they're expecting UTSA to get to the mid-30s. So I think at the end of the day, you get you a pretty easy cover and we get a full blowout. UTSA may go over this over-under total themselves.
Oh, we'll see, we'll see, we'll see, baby. That's the board I got, Scotty. I got a couple more I want to throw at you real quick. I'm going to take your Wyoming game and your +5, and I'm going to wrap that up into another Mountain West Moneyline parlay, and I'm going to take the UNLV Running Rebels against Fresno State. They're getting 7.5 points in Fresno. I think this is a team that could win. This team is 6-1. It's going bowling. They've got all kinds of momentum in there. How good a job has Barry Odom done at UNLV with this team? They always play this team close. Even when they had my man crush and Jake Hayner playing quarterback for Fresno State, they typically stayed close with these guys. I'm going to roll with the Rebels getting a little plus number here, +7.5, and take me some money line on a sprinkle it in pizza parlay for myself.
All right, I'm going to get you. I'll give you a nice little parlay since we're going to talk parlays. I'm going Pac-12 parlay.
Here we go.
How about that? You know, I'm loving the Pac-12 this year and actually winning some money in this league, so I'm enjoying it. But I like Wazoo -6 at Arizona State. That line's shorter than it should be simply because Washington played awful last week. That was a total dead man's game. If you're going to play in the playoff, every team has them. Last year it was Georgia at Missouri. They had no business winning that game. They played terrible, but found a way to win it on the road. Washington was that bad at home, played terrible. That offense looked out of sync the whole game. This line's way too short. Wazoo's going to go down there and pound those guys. UCLA going to put it on prime at home.
I love this spot. Love this spot.
Love this spot. And look, I'm going to bet UCLA as it is on the line as well. And then Arizona +3.5. I think they got a legit shot to win this ball game against Oregon State. But look, they've only not covered the number one time this year. I like them getting 3.5. That's my Pac-12 parlay. I love all three of these lines. And I think Arizona's a live dog. Live dog. So interested to see how that game works out. Since they made the quarterback switch, Arizona's a really good football team. They should have beaten SC. Yeah. And here comes Oregon State having to go down to the desert. And I think this has got a chance to be a really tough spot for them. And you know, I like this team. And what I really like about this number is the hook. Get it now before the hook goes up. 3.5. It's on the road. The number's going to be low. Both these teams are playing a lot better defense than people think. I just think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think 3.5 is too much. Like me, some Arizona right here. But I love that parlay overall.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you.
Parlay for everybody that's listening. It's just in general.
I like the plays that are out there. I like that UCLA play a lot. I'll probably be on that play. This is what I love about Colorado. Colorado is getting 70% of the money and 80% of the bets coming in on this game, and the line is not moving, which means to tell you the book is fine taking as much money as they want on Colorado because they think they've got the right side in UCLA.
Mark, this is the defense they play.
Yeah.
On their own road. I don't know how this number's this big. I mean, how the number's not bigger than this.
No, I agree, and I like the zone of pick a lot. A couple more I'll throw out there to you. Louisville, I think Louisville's in a good spot this week. Bounce back from that loss that they had against Pitt. I like that spot. I like Maryland, man. Hell in a Shell getting it done this week in the Big Ten. They're laying a little bit bigger number. I'm going to have to dig into that one as we record this on Wednesday. But I like this spot for Maryland. I kind of like Army laying 10. Against UMass, I can't see UMass being able to put up much defense. I mean, the Army hadn't been great. Give me your opinion in the cocktail party. Are you going Sunbelt Billy? Or are you going a Brockless a Brockless Georgia here.
So hard for me to bet on Sunbelt Billy on anything. But if I bet that game, it'll be on Sunbelt Billy. I like the hook. Again, I like the hook, 14.5. I want to see what George can do without Brock Bowers. He has bailed them out so much.
Yes.
So they don't win that game at Auburn, much less do they cover a big number without him. They don't win that game straight up. So I'm interested to see how that goes. If I'm taking it, I will take Sunbelt Billy. But, you know, I am not a fan. I'm not big on this team. I will tell you what game in the SEC I'm going to get on. And no, it is not Mississippi State Auburn. It is Kentucky Tennessee. I like the Cats and the Bluegrass, baby. Give me the +3.5. I think this is a close game. I think Kentucky may win this game straight up. So Joe Milton bet they got to run the football. At Kentucky defense is good against the run. And while that Tennessee defense is good against the run, I think they're going to be able to make enough plays on offense to, if not win this game, certainly keep it very close. I like Kentucky here to cover that 3.5 number.
The world's largest checkout line, huh? They do play good up there, and it'd be interesting to see how Tennessee bounces back after that loss last week. Vandy, Ole Miss, I think you're leaning on the Vandy train with 24 and a hook, if I had to make a guess.
24 and a hook. The doors have kept this game close. Ole Miss has not covered. They're 4-6 against the spread last 10 games. Vandy's even got a couple of dubs in that stretch, and they always play this game close. I think Ole Miss with A&M looming on deck. I think this is a coaster game for the Rebels. I do not expect a big effort. Last week was a bigger game for Ole Miss than I think people realize, because of the Hugh Freeze deal. And Kiffin wasn't going to lose that game. There was no chance he was losing that game. Freeze was so big on them in the 6.5. Freeze did give it all he's got. They're just not a very good team. I think Ole Miss plays flat right here. Certainly not in danger of losing the ball game, but I think Ole Miss does not cover that 24.5 number.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, next week you're going to need 4 TVs, brother, because unless they kick these games in different directions – Bedlam, 3:30. LSU, Bama, 3:30. You got Georgia, Missouri, 3:30. Texas A&M, Ole Miss, 3:30. Kansas State, Texas, 3:30. They got a bunch of games slotted in that afternoon slot. And it may not sound big. All those games have ramifications on winning the conference and possibly making a trip to the national championship. So, it's going to be a good Saturday next Saturday.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And look, give me a war on the Bluegrass this weekend. I need that game to get feisty and nasty because the Wildcats come to Starkville next week for a night game. Oh, so man. Bulldogs got to figure out how to win really one more game because they still got Southern Miss on their schedule to get bowl eligible. I don't know that's going to happen this weekend. But it's either this weekend or Kentucky, or it probably ain't going to happen. You never know in the Egg Bowl, but Ole Miss is significantly better than State.
I am kind of cheering for Ole Miss for Mississippi State to not play well against Kentucky. Win this weekend, lose to Kentucky, get embarrassed really bad, and then get a really cheap line when they play Southern Miss and just steamroll those guys and get that in there.
Yeah.
Because Southern Miss is awful. They're one of the worst 5 or 6 teams in the country. I thought he was going to do a good job down there.
Yeah. You know, former offense coordinator at Tulane. His dad was a big-time coach in Mississippi for a high school goal. I thought Will Hall would do a really good job down there, and just to this point is not.
So, folks, with that being said, smash us a like, give us a subscribe, give us some notes, hit us up on Twitter. Get out there and enjoy some games. As we record this, it's 5 p.m. Central. Some of you probably won't hear this till tomorrow. And if you sit through the Sam UTEP game, God bless you, folks, because it's going to be a barn burner with the over-under at 37 and Sam laying 3.5 points and not having won a game this season. With all that being said, we're signing out, and we'll talk to you next week.